Classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz has been following the career of director Peter Sellers for a decade and a half. Since Sellers has moved to Los Angeles, however, Lloyd has had less opportunity to see his work. A new Sellers videotape and a recent Sellers production at Lincoln Center provide some insight into what Sellers has been up to.
Peter Sellers launched his career with a series of extremely exciting and very controversial productions of operatic classics by Mozart and Handel, in which he superimposed, some people would say merely imposed, on the score a layer of contemporary images. Don Giovanni in an urban ghetto, The Marriage of Figaro in the Trump Tower. Sellers' work is far above the merely hack, hey, let's set Hamlet in Vietnam mentality, because it contends with emotional and intellectual complexities productions usually ignore. Unlike most opera directors, Sellers has also been active in the creation of new works. He was at the center of the contemporary opera that has most caught the public imagination, Nixon in China, with music by minimalist composer John Adams and a striking libretto by poet Alice Goodman. Sellers' latest venture is Berkeley poet and professor June Jordan's earthquake romance, I Was Looking at the Ceiling and Then I Saw the Sky. The title comes from something someone said after the L.A. earthquake. It's a loosely structured series of scenes dealing with seven multicultural 20-somethings at the time of the quake. Unfortunately, Jordan's characters are merely contemporary clichés. Ethnic, racial, and gender stereotypes far more cardboard than anything in traditional opera. A much pregnant, undocumented alien from El Salvador. A horny black minister. A homophobic Irish cop who's really gay. A ruthless woman TV news reporter, and a nervous Vietnamese lawyer who falls in love with her right after she tells him to take a boat back to Vietnam. John Adams' rock, blues, and rap score has a couple of pretty tunes and a good beat, but it's less exciting than the originals by Aretha Franklin or Leonard Bernstein he's imitating. Even Sellers is at a loss to make this material come to life, though the staging, with colorful drops by actual graffiti artists, is Broadway glossy. The audience my night was impressively multicultural, but it upset me that they were applauding the very impulse of ethnic and gender pigeonholing that's at the root of all prejudice. Sellers' new video of Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht's The Seven Deadly Sins is another story. Weill's first score after he was forced by the Nazis to leave Germany in 1933 is one of his most ravishing transformations of the pop music he's imitating. This has suddenly become his most popular work. Some half-dozen recordings with big stars on major labels have been released or re-released in just the past few years. This ironic morality tale about sin and family values says that anything is sinful if it keeps you from making a buck. Things like art or sex, for example. Sound familiar? In the main characters, two sisters who are really two sides of the same person, Sellers shows us hopeless, homeless, uprooted American travelers living in their fantasy of success. His star is the extraordinary Teresa Stratus, who sings the music in Weill's original high key, and whose heartbreakingly beautiful but ravaged face Sellers wisely keeps the camera glued to. And in the casting of the exquisite African-American dancer Nora Kimball as her sister, and the superb male quartet who sings the family, including beefy bass Peter Rose as the mother, Sellers, following Brecht and Weill, make subtler, stronger, and more subversive arguments against stereotyping than can be found anywhere in I Was Looking at the Ceiling. Here he fulfills one of the most important functions of art, to let us, or make us, see the unique soul of every individual, not to take that individuality away.
Thank you.
Lloyd Schwartz is the classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix. The video of Weill's Seven Deadly Sins, directed by Peter Sellers, is on London.